Coach Carroll, good morning. What happened on Saturday?
Well, we didn't get it done, we obviously, and it was frustrating. It was we were ready to go. We played hard. We played tough. Guys were jacked up about the game and the opportunity, and being on the road didn't factor in. You know, none of that stuff that could have, you know, been a story today. But we really didn't play as well as we needed to play up front. You know, I think we asked too much of our guys in that. When you don't practice for a few weeks and you throw your guys out there with that kind of intensity and all, guys just had to get their feet underneath them, and they penetrated a little bit, knocked a running game around, and it just slowed us up. We could have overcome that, but we didn't convert. You know, and that was, I've told you this story so many times. It just is the way the game. You can feel the flow of it. When you don't get your third down wins, then you don't get the next try to do your play passes and to do your nakeds and to do the stuff that gives everything the kind of the balance that you need. So it was a hard game for us up front. But as it went, we played so well on defense in this game. We were in the game the whole time, and we were there. And they come down to a few plays that are just memorable and significant. And the third down penalties, when we had them stopped to get the ball back when we needed to, those were huge, and they're questionable. But there, something was going on. You could see why the guy called something, and it's not to complain about the officiating, but those were the plays. And then we really had that big third down and 14, you know. We don't tackle him, you know, and I don't know if you guys saw it, but Bobby kind of got shoved in the back right at the point of the attack. And that's the tackle that we needed. He and B-Mac had a shot at him right there to make a field goal, and then 6 points, and then we're going down and trying to win the game.
What happened on that play?
On the
third and 14.
They just ran a draw. We're laying out of there, for, you know, to make sure that they don't get to throw the ball down and make the first down. And we reacted back on the play, and both guys squeezed to make the tackle, and he dove through it. Bobby got shoved a little bit by the tight end, and he fell forward and didn't make the tackle that he always makes. It would have been an 8-yard play or something like that, and they kicked a field goal, and that would have been, you know, adequate for the time. But he did a great job. He rocketed through and threw his body in there and got away with that little, you know, that little sneaking through. Yep. And he makes a heck of a play, and so now the game changes.
Was there anything Dallas did up front defensively to stuff the run?
They did well. Yeah, they did jump around a bunch and took some chances up front on this day. You could see our guys were a little bit behind the quickness of it, you know, and that was because of the practice, and it was unfortunate. We asked a lot of them, and Sweez gave us everything he got. Fluke gave us everything he got, and he had on that night. But I think you could just see that we were just a hair behind the timing of it, and so the penetration was more, and we weren't getting the yards that we usually get.
They're fast.
Yeah, they're really quick. They're quick, and they play to their quickness, and on that night, with the way, you know, we went into that game, that they were able to take advantage of that.
So I was going to wait, but I might as well get right to it.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, because a lot of the narrative then, and I'm sure people that are on this side of it are screaming right now, like, well, Pete, yep, you asked too much. The guys are a little slow. Then throw the ball. Then get out of this run-first mentality.
Well,
get out of this run-run-pass.
I don't disagree with that. I wish we would have done something different, too. But if you guys don't look at it like we look at it, maybe you do. Go back at the series. The second series, we have a nice little play action screen pass. We lose 10 on the play, you know. I don't even know if Chris caught that ball, but we lose 10 on the play. So that sequence is knocked back. And then the next time we try it again and we don't, you know, we don't get it and we don't make our third down win. And so that's almost the half. We got the ball like one more time after that, and we're in a 2-minute situation. So that's all we got. Now that means that they were holding the ball enough. They moved the ball enough to keep it away from us. Our third down conversions weren't there. We're 1 for 6 or 7 in the first half. That ain't enough. And so we didn't get our chances to get to our game plan, and that's just how it went. Interestingly, in the second half, I'm going ahead for you. In the second half, you know, we get the field position change, we get the great punt, we get the ball backed up, we get the ball right in midfield, and we ran the ball 8 of 9 plays right there. You know, I don't know if anybody realized that, but we controlled the ball going down there. We were 4 down on it because of the field goal thing. I don't know if you guys could see, it was kick into that. And it worked out fine to get us a nice score, and we're ahead 14-10. Okay, well, now we need to hold them and stop them, and we didn't get that done. And so it's a good tight game. It was that kind of game. I thought Russ threw the ball fine for the game, except for we didn't convert the third downs, and we got to make those wins, you know, and that's the way this one goes. It's unfortunate.
As you're watching that game from the sideline and invested in it and coaching in it, did it feel like most of your games where you're just expecting it to come down to a play or two at the end of the game?
Yeah, it did feel like that kind of game. And I was fine about that. I know not everybody likes to hear that, but that, I was fine about that because we were doing well on defense. And it was a game that was, you know, was highly contested, and I felt like we were in control to catch it and win it. And particularly when we went ahead and the way we did it, I thought we were ready to go ahead and take the game over. And then they had their couple sequences, and it was the difference.
Did not having your field goal kicker change any of that at the end, where you couldn't play to win a game with a field goal necessarily at the end? Does that go into your thinking and how that?
It was totally in the thinking. As soon as he pulls his hammy, that we had to adjust. And so Mike, you know, we went into the whole thing with Mike to get him ready to go. We were going to, if we needed to kick a ball, we were going to use them. I mean, if it, say it's a situation that wasn't worth going for on fourth down.
Would it have been a drop kick field goal?
No.
He would have a regular field goal.
Yeah.
Do you think he's better at that?
Well, the timing is the timing and the distance of the snap and stuff is so drastically different. He's got to be back about 10 yards back there to do the drop kick thing. And we've worked on that, but we weren't real confident in it because of the protection issue. And so if he can't get the kickoff, what good is it? You know. So he was ready to kick the ball from place kick, and that's not something that he's really good at. But that's what we would have done had we needed it. But we were already, you know, the mode happened immediately that we were going to be in a two-point mode and we were going to be in an opportunity to go for it on fourth down as opposed to just kicking a normal field goal situation. And we played right through it. It worked out. It was, you know, by the skin of our teeth hitting Doug on the fourth down play on an unbelievable throw and catch, you know. But we did convert it and we got down the field and we were ready to do that.
Just to satisfy my curiosity, if you had stopped them on 3rd and 14 and they kick a field goal and you're down 6 and you march down the field and you score as time expires and it's now tied.
We're going for 2.
You're going for 2.
Yeah, we're going for 2. Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, no, it would have been great. And we were ready to do it, and that was just the best way to do it. You know, I go back to the 2-point conversions are about 50%. There's like 47.9 or 48 or something like that. So, you know, with a guy who's never kicked one before, I'd rather go hand the ball off. And we did great in the 2-point situations, and we were good down in there. So,
was there any more run game you feel like you could have got to?
Yeah, there was a couple things. Yeah, there were a couple things that we wanted to get to that were part of the plan that just didn't, you know, we just didn't get around to. We didn't have enough plays.
How do you feel about your coaching staff coming out of this season?
Oh, I thought the guys did a great job. And I thought they did a great job because of the connection with their players. The mentality of this team is in such a great place. The way they respond, the way that they practice every day and bring their attitude every day, the connection there is so valuable. It's more important than a whole lot of other stuff. We're good tactically anyway. We know what we're doing. We know how we're trying to get this done. We've got a real good mode. You could see when we got knocked out of running the ball the way we wanted to, we weren't the way we wanted to be. And that was we have a way and a style, and we have to adjust a little bit quicker. I agree with that. I wish we would have made some more plays in the throwing game that would have offset and just changed the field position.
But you understand that Brian Schottenheimer's coming under a lot of fire today.
Yeah, I think that's what you guys do, you know, this on the talk show stuff or whatever. That's a bunch of garbage. What a terrific football season we had. This was the second highest scoring team in the history of the franchise, I think. Come on. And we outran everybody, and we did not turn the ball. We almost set an all-time NFL record for fewest turnovers in a season. That's discipline and tactics and approach and all that. I get it. Everybody feels bad about it. Brian's a hell of a coach, and he does a great job, and he did a great job with our guys throughout the season and will continue to. So.
If I would have told,
I'm sorry that they feel that way, but yeah. We needed to execute better.
Well, and I guess, you know, just some of that, and you've spoken to it, is just where is that line between this style and this is who we are and what we're going to be, and we're going to run it for 160 yards a game, as you've done on this season. I think a record-setting year for a franchise running the football as well here. When it comes up against a Dallas or it comes up against a Carolina, can it evolve?
Of course it can. You've already seen it. I mean, we just didn't happen, that's all. It didn't happen in this game enough to make it work. But remember, was it Carolina when we threw for 3, whatever? We did what we needed to do. In this game, we just didn't convert enough to get our shots, and then the game was close enough. We're in the football game. I you know, it's that kind of a day that we had to live through, and I'm sorry that it worked out that way. But I love our team. I love the way we play. I love our attitude. I love our approach. I love what's going on with it. And the balance that we create by being able to run the football like that so that we can throw the ball like Russ is so capable of doing is there for us. And we just needed it in this day. It just didn't happen the way we wanted to.
How about them rushing for 160?
Yeah, well, there was a the big 40-something yard play, and whatever that what was the gain on the quarterback run. Those are two huge 16. Plays in this game, mm-hmm. So that was those are big ones. We played the running game very well in general. He's good. He falls forward, man. He on 2 and 3 yard plays, he makes 4 and 5s, and he just does it by throwing his body. That's why he's the best guy in the NFL. You can see why. But we played him really well, except for we made an enormous error on the bounce out play on the 3rd and 1. The same kind of play that we stopped play after play after play during the game. That was just we were in dime. It was 3rd and 1.5, and we played a man to man call, and the young corner had to see that situation and play that play the leverage properly, and he didn't see it, and so the ball bounced on us.
As you start to think forward now, what's your offseason priority?
Well, we just got to get back to business. We got to do a really good evaluation and figure all the stuff out and make all the determinations that everybody wants us to make so we can see how to fix things up and balance things. I want to make sure that we take off from where we ended up. We really had a good surge in the end of the season. We know what we're trying to get done. We like our young guys. They have to develop. We got to make sure we bring them forward and they get better and they do show the natural kind of evolution that young guys from year 1 to year 2 make. Some of our guys who were with us for our first year to our second year, those guys will make a big jump too. I think we have everything's in line for us. We need to make this a really competitive roster. We need everybody to fight for their positions and battle their way back and get better, master the things that we're trying to master, and just continue to improve. We know there's some areas that we got to deal with, but we have a lot of depth. We have guys coming back. I can't wait to see Disley come back. Can't wait to see CJ come back. Where's he going to fit in, and what can he contribute? There's guys across the board. I'd like to see Michael Kendrick come back to us and see what he adds in. We've got some really good young kids. Rasheem Green, how can he add? Puna's going to be a bigger factor next year. There's a lot of real positive things. The corners, the DBs, the safeties, all of those spots are all going to be have a chance to improve. We need to enhance that growth and really make sure that
you
happens.
Hit on this a number of times yesterday, and I couldn't help but after watching the post game with the J.R. Sweezys, J.R. Sweezy said this was his best year of football he's ever had. It was the most fun he's ever had. And I think the reporter's like, well, you won a Super Bowl in 2013. And he didn't hesitate. And he said, no, this group here, just to a man and the way they work, this was the most fun that he ever had. Why did this group, from your perspective, gel in that kind of way?
Well, I think it was the chemistry and the leadership was really ready to go in a real positive, supportive, let's go for it together kind of mentality. We saw it all the way back the start of the off season, and you could just tell there was that kind of vibe that had a chance, and we did. I think we did a really good job of keeping our offense and our defense connected, throughout. They had the connection that you like to see on a team that I don't think was always as good as it is now. And I think it's just there was just more reliance on one another and understanding of that. And that was really cool. And that gives you a chance to be really good. This is a very special team. This is a team that can win championships. This is that kind of team. It's just going to take us some time to grow into it. Maybe we can make this transition right now. That's what the idea is. We're doing it right now. And so there's no reason to wait. There's no reason to postpone. There's no reason. It's going to take some years of seasoning. But we'll see. We'll see. We got to go out and go about it. And see
from your years of experience, it's interesting. You talk about that dynamic between offense and defense. Probably what I hear on the road the most, teams that are really close just have that kind of dynamic. Where does credit go? Who deserves some of that credit for just bringing both sides together in that way?
I think it has to do with the leadership, and that's the leadership, not just the players, it's the coaches too. They lead. They lead their groups every day for 7 months straight. They're going after it and keeping the chemistry right and the mentality, the language, the conversation, continuing to teach guys how to be good teammates and draw that out of them. I think that's what's prevalent. It's all across the board here, and I'm really fired to be part of it.
I think one of the big conversations outside the building, and I'm imagining inside the building, will be a contract for Russell Wilson this offseason. Generally, quarterbacks, franchise quarterbacks, going into the final year of their deal, it's an opportunity to sign them. There's a group of people out there who don't believe it makes sense to pay top money for a quarterback in a scheme where you're going to be as balanced as yours is. How do you feel about all of that?
I don't think they understand. Whoever's saying that, they don't get it. Russell's a great player. He's a fantastic player. He just had an incredible season. How many guys could throw that many touchdown passes in that many attempts? Be that efficient, that clean? He's one of a kind. He's an incredible football player. That is at hand. You know, we'll be talking about all that stuff during this offseason.
I agree with you, and I want to speak for the group out there, though, because I think what they would argue is, yes, all of those things are true, but at $30 million or so, could you get someone else to do a lot of that, to hand the ball off, to come with a couple of plays a game and spend the $30 million elsewhere?
Mike, I think that you guys could help the narrative here about to say that to run the football means that you don't have to have a good quarterback, or you're just running the ball. We are so enamored with these other numbers that everybody wants to cheerlead about. Let's win football games. Let's play good winning style and show the consistency and show the ability to play a great ball all the way across the board, offense, defense, teams, the whole thing that it takes to play a great season and get a great championship run going. And that management of that instrumental part of the quarterback position is just as important on our team as it is on any other team. I don't think it should be diminished because of the rushing numbers. We want the explosive plays and the touchdowns to continue to be at the top of the chart. When you're like that, you're really hard to beat. And so that's what we'll continue to do. Like we said, you know, that we had, I think we only had six explosives in this game, which I think they had too. But in the second half of the season, when we really got gin in, we were on the best at getting big plays. That's how it works, and his touchdowns were all over the board. I mean, it was great. So that's okay.
See, I like,
there's all kinds of opinions. I didn't worry about that.
I like you digging into some of those numbers. And, you know, now that the season's ended, you know, to a degree, is there an opportunity to help enhance some of that narrative of how much analytics and stats do play a role in what you guys do?
Well, yeah, it's a big deal now. I mean, the analytics of the turnover thing and taking care of the football and getting it. You know, we led the NFL in turnover ratio. That's a fantastic stat. It's part of the reason that we're successful. And it will be part of the reason we're consistent. It will consistently be at the head of the class. And that's what we need to keep working at. That's great football. Running the ball is great football, and playing off of that. If you don't take advantage of it, and you're a little short game passing game, you're not banking on the whole value. We have to throw the ball down the field and explode and get all those touchdown passes and all those big plays and to make it all work together. We get that. That's what we're going to do and continue to do, and we'll find guys that continue to, you know, get in position to make those kinds of plays for us.
What's the toughest challenge ahead for this group?
The toughest challenge, I think, is to develop the mentality that it takes to be great. And I'm talking for every player. Figure out what he can do to master his position. We left this building talking about the mastery of your own spot and what it takes to dive in, to figure out how you can grow as a player in your awareness, in your mentality, your approach, your development on and off the field, all of those things that allow you to grow and become the great performer that you have in you. And that's what's going to make a difference. And how that will show itself is in decision-making and the experience of the right positioning and tactics that apply to the situations that come from the savvy and the understanding that we can develop. So it's all of that stuff. We have a lot of the elements coming back. We're in great shape coming back. We can't wait to get started again. I hope our fans are fired up about this. This is going to be a terrific team over the next bundle of years here, and we're going to have a chance to do some great stuff. But the challenge will be how far can we grow as individual players and then as the position groups as they grow together.
You got some difficult decisions to make on players that are now free agents, obviously, and that list probably starts with Frank Clark, who just had a monster year. What does the offseason conversation look like with Frank?
Well, as we always tell you, it's always difficult. This is always a tough time of year to figure out how we can go ahead and keep going and keep everybody together and all of that. We have a very disciplined, mapped out plan for how we're going about, in particular, the guys that are on this roster right now. We have a way to do it. It's going to take us some time to get through it. We've been talking to Frank's people. We've been negotiating for some time and with Ernest. You know, he had a great year. I've said to you tons of times, Not only did he have a great year on the field, he had a terrific year developing off the field and has become really a complete factor on this team and a leader and all of that. So we're hoping – we plan on Frank playing with us. We don't want to lose him. And so we got to figure out how to do it. This is a big business part of the year, you know, and we got a lot of stuff that we got to work on. But we have all of the tools to get that done.
You feel more comfortable saying that about him now than you did a year ago?
There's no question. Yeah, I just watched Frank emerge, you know, emotionally and in his maturity and his leadership qualities and his language and everything about him. He became a fantastic member of this club.
You've said challenge a couple times. Could Mike and I have come in and done our radio show today with the challenge of JR's broken foot? Like, do you think we could do a radio show, let alone what he did?
You may have been out there with a little blankie or something. I don't think you would have done it. But you're QB, man.
Yes.
I don't know, man. I don't know what kind of quarterback you are. Really,
it's the kind that got hurt a lot.
I got hurt. I got hurt a lot.
That's what I heard. So.
How did he do that?
I don't know. He really he just did it. You know, and to his you know. I get caught up in it too, man. He wants to come back and play, and I want him to do it. And he had that look in his eye. He was ready to go and pre. All through the week, he was telling me, I'm going to do it. I can do it. I can get back. He wasn't supposed to be back. You know, he got something wrong in his foot. You know, it's going to take him a long time before that goes away. But he did it, and he played his tail off. And you just got to give him all the love and the credit in the world. He's a great Seahawk.
You talk about tough guys. Doug Baldwin's going to be right near the top of that list. Where's Doug at right now?
I think Doug finished really well. I think he came on again. You look at his list of MRIs. I mean, he's still got stuff that's unsolved. You know, he just played through it and went for it and did a great job and made incredible plays down the stretch. I thought he had a great finish to the season.
Does the world now know that Tyler Lockett's one of the best receivers in the league?
Wow, isn't he something? He's really just the consistency of. His excellence. I mean, he does things so well. I mean, did you see the big? If you go back and look at the route, the gorgeous route he runs on the last one, to put us in the field position. I mean, it's the timing and the rhythm of it. He just left, Jones sitting there, and you know, in a situation where you're supposed to be playing the deep ball and know the ball's coming, he just froze him and stuck him, and he did stuff. The other catch he makes, you know, is a ridiculous catch. You know, so he's a great player, and his return too. You know, his factor in the return game, his consistency and his reliability back there, making the decisions and all, phenomenal.
He's probably to your point of mastering, right? You talk about mastering your craft of what he has done in his growth.
Yep. Look at the another great number is that pass efficiency number between him and Russ. That's has been done one time before in history or whatever.
Perfect.
Yeah, he had a perfect season. Look what he did. He threw a couple balls his way. He caught everything again. He just, you know, won up that one. So amazing. So it's great to see. It is. It's an illustration. Can I tell you something? A little story here. We talked about it yesterday and showed on film an illustration of mastery and to show them the what it looks like in just one illustration of the thousands of chances that the guys have with what KJ did, you know, the KJ's interception, and showed him this exact play that happened against the Cardinals for a touchdown that Larry catches. It's exactly the same play. And they whipped us again on the fooled the corner again, and KJ almost got to the play in the Cardinals game. This time he saw it. This time he didn't just cover it. He picked it off. I mean, it was an unbelievable awareness. It's not his job. That's not his job to do. But he had such presence to understand, and it was similar place on the field, and he used all of those elements to make that decision. And it was just such a great example of a guy and where guys can become, you know, in their growth as players and all, how you can use all of those tools and all of those, you know, the factors to make decisions and to make great plays. It was amazing.
Could you turn on the TV and watch the ball yesterday?
Huh?
Were you able to watch ball yesterday or no?
Yeah, the corner of my eye. You know, I did watch the end of the game and the kick and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Saw a few things. But I'm not really up for watching ball right now. But, you know, I'm anxious to watch the Rams play. I want to see how they look. And it seems like they kind of went quiet for a while. I'm kind of anxious to see them come back to life and see what they look like. And I'm anxious to see how it turns out. I'll get back into it. It was a bad weekend.
Could that Dallas team do some damage in this postseason?
you got to wait and see.
Are you going to go quiet on us again? Like last year, this thing ended, and then you like went into like the underground bunker for 2 months. Like we couldn't even know if you were around. Are you going to be as quiet with us? Or?
You got to give me a call now and then.
Okay.
You text Pearson once in a while. You can text me.
I'll get your digits after this ends.
No, I'm not giving you those.
Probably for the best.
Yeah.
Coach, thank you. It really was a fun season, and we appreciate all of these talks, all these conversations with you. I think we learn a lot about football. I think our listeners learn a lot about the game and about how you think about the game. So we really do enjoy doing this Pete Carroll Show with you every single week. Obviously, the Saturday night was a huge bummer for everybody.
Yeah,
I'm sure for you as much as anyone else. I think as mad as fans may be for a couple of days, I think you're absolutely right in terms of the direction of where this is going.
I hope they'll sense that when they come back around, like we all have to do. But I'm with you. I'm so disappointed we're not still playing. This team could keep going. We could keep rolling, and unfortunately, this is not this time. But we'll get back at it. They're going to come back raring to go now. I hope the 12s understand. They have connected. They feel them. They know about the fun of this group, and it's going to be one that's going to be really a great group to follow.
All right, there you have it. That's Coach Carroll wrapping up the Seahawks' playoff loss and wrapping up the season as well. We'll be back to talk a whole lot more about it tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. Until then, the hay
is in the barn.
See you, everybody.